Now I would like to turn our attention to environmentalist Judy Barry. Just over 30 years ago, she was brutally attacked and unjustly criminalized. May 24th, 1990, Judy Barry and her partner Daryl Cherney were injured by a pipe bomb explosion in a car they were riding across Oakland, California. Judy Barry was a forest defender, a labor activist, feminist, anarchist, and an organizer with Earth First, campaigning against logging in the Redwood Forest of Northern California. Although both survived the pipe bomb, Judy was left with critical injuries, including a fractured pelvis. And guess what? Law enforcement, instead of figuring out who was responsible for the explosion, well, who knows, maybe they were involved, they claimed that Judy and Daryl basically planted the bomb and therefore bombed themselves. Before we welcome our guests, I'd like you to hear some of that story, hearing the words of Judy Barry herself.
So when the bomb exploded, it was May 24th, 1990, and we were on our way to a concert in Santa Cruz where we were going to play songs and show a slideshow and recruit for Redwood Summer among the college students there. And I can't even describe how horrible it was. I can tell you I knew it was a bomb the second that it exploded. I felt it rip through me with just a force more powerful and terrible than anything that I could describe. But the horror of this experience didn't end with the bombing itself, because within minutes of the bombing, the FBI terrorist squad from the San Francisco FBI office was on the scene. And I literally mean this, within minutes, certainly within a half hour. According to their own records, the first record we have of their being on the scene is a log by the Oakland police. And 25 minutes after the bomb explodes, they recount their conversations with the FBI agents. So they were there pretty fast, considering that this was in Oakland and that FBI office is in San Francisco. And what the FBI did, arriving on the scene immediately, actually my lawyer wrote in the brief, the FBI was there in a trice, almost as if they had been standing around the corner holding their ears. But at any rate, they, whether or not they were standing around the corner holding their ears, they were certainly there quickly, and what they did was they quickly kind of took control of the scene. And they talked to the Oakland police, who were the responding agency. And what they did is they said to the Oakland police, they said, we know these people. These people are terrorists. And literally what they said, this was testified by Sergeant Sitterud of the Oakland police. He said, they told us that these were the kind of people who would carry a bomb. They told us that
wow.
These people...
You heard, that's the voice of Judy Barry herself, the FBI turning up very, very quickly and claiming that Judy and Daryl were terrorists. I would now like to welcome our guest. Karen Pickett has been involved with forest activism and other ecological and social issues with Earth First and other organizations for four decades. She and Judy Barry were close friends and comrades. Karen, I'm so glad that you're able to join us. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
So, you know, the strength of Judy, I mean, clearly after she was injured, she continued our activism. But for our listeners, and particularly for the younger folks who may not know or understand the significance of what Judy was doing, why was she considered such a threat to loggers and even to the U.S. government? What was she doing that caused them worry?
Well, we as Earth First were organizing Redwood Summer, which was to be a summer-long campaign of civil disobedience in the forested regions in Northern California to protest the liquidation logging by the corporations that was going on up there. But Judy, being she actually was the principal architect of Redwood Summer, in, you know, Earth First figuring out that it was time to do mass organizing. But her background was in labor organizing when she came into Earth First in the late 80s. And so that's what she was grounded in and informed by. And so her analysis was one that had not really been present in Earth First previous to that. And she was giving workshops about, you know, when protesters are out in the woods doing tree sits or whatever, the workshops were how to talk to a logger and, you know, how to bridge that cultural divide and bringing people around to the approach to these campaigns that who the fight was with was the corporations and the CEOs and not the people out in the woods, not the workers, not the loggers. And so previous to that, you know, the workers and environmentalists, which the environmental movement especially then, but still now, you know, was largely white and middle class, and there was this massive divide, and we were organizing kind of in our own camps, and she was bringing these camps together to recognize the common foe, and that's what was dangerous. And not only was it this basic truth that we're fighting the same force, but she was also a brilliant strategist. She was very funny. She was incredibly sharp-witted and irreverent. And so her organizing was very powerful. And that's why she was a danger, and that's why she was bombed.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're going to bring environmentalists and loggers together, which Judy seemed to manage to have done, that's definitely a threat to the bottom line. And also, before this bombing incident, wasn't she? I mean, you've known, you're a good friend of Judy's, and wasn't she harassed prior to that? I saw somewhere, read somewhere that they tried to like drive her off the road and various other tactics of intimidation. Karen Pickett.
Yes, on working up to Redwood Summer, things were getting very politically hot on the North Coast, and there had been death threats, there had been physical violence, and Judy in particular was targeted in one incident that had been a few months before the bombing, was that she was coming from a demonstration in Mendocino County, and she had her two young daughters and a friend in the car, and they were leaving the demonstration and driving slowly through this small town, and a logging truck came up behind them, and there was a stop, and Judy had stopped and then was going, and the logging truck did not stop, so this massive truck rear-ended her car, and people were injured, though not seriously. It was something that was very scary, and, you know, one has to wonder. They said that it was a mistake, but this kind of thing had been going on, and it was because of what was happening behind the scenes. The PR companies that were working for the timber industry were distributing phony press releases on the Earth First letterhead in timber country, saying that Earth First was bringing violence to the woods. So this was building and building and building, and then the culmination was the bombing.
Yeah, and we just have a couple of minutes left, but just in terms of looking at the environmental movement today and Earth First, I mean, tell us just a bit about Earth First, because it wasn't just Judy and Daryl who were basically being monitored by the U.S. government, but a number of other Earth Firsters as well. And we also know that Earth First then went to Southern Illinois, to the Shawnee National Forest, and participated in the blockade that they were doing to stop the logging that was going on there. So just your final thoughts on the role of Earth First and, you know, just any lessons that could be gleaned from your experience for the environmental movement today. Karen Pickett.
Well, Earth First has always been known as a radical organization, and because we've always pushed the envelope, you know, I don't feel that what we do is particularly outrageous or radical. It's more that it is necessary, because we need to take these risks if we're going to see any change in these systems that need to change. So I think that, you know, Earth First evolves over time, and we've certainly grown with our analysis, but there's always going to be that pushback from the powers that be, from the corporate world, and also from the government. And yes, the FBI and other police agencies had surveilled and targeted Earth First for several years before this bombing happened, even though that went further. We never thought that something that extreme would happen in response, but just the same, the year before the bombing, the FBI, after doing several years of surveillance, set up they tried to frame some Earth Firsters, including this person who they perceived as the leader of Earth First, and decided that they needed to take him out. And they set up this monkey-wrenching action on the power lines. And the FBI agents were intimately involved with this action. They used a cutting torch on a transmission tower, and they taught the people how to use a cutting torch. They bought the propane. They drove the activists to the site. They helped plan it. This is what the FBI did in order to be able to portray Earth First as terrorists. And that's what they tried to do after the bombing as well, is to say these people are bomb-throwing terrorists.
Right. And for people, you know, let us know about the organization you are working with now, and for people who want to support your efforts. I mean, this is deep environmentalists happening here. So people who are new to the environmental movement or just, you know, kind of getting their feet into activism, what should they do in terms of getting in touch with you all and knowing more about your work?
Well, there's always things that people can do in various situations, and the forest campaigns continue in Northern California, and that's what I'm most involved with. You know, we have a lot of organizing that's going on in the age of the pandemic, where people are doing things differently. We have these drive-by demos, but up in Northern California, we actually have a tree sit going on right now up near Eureka, California, where several people are sitting in trees to protest a logging plan by Green Diamond Corporation. And it's something that can be done safely because it's not a crowd of people who are close together. And it was funny. They said, well, if the timber companies are going to say that their activity is essential, then we say that protesting this kind of overlogging is also essential activity. So people can find Earth First, the website and the magazine at earthfirst.news.org, and I also work with the Bay Area Coalition for Headwaters, which can be Googled, and we work with the activist groups on the North Coast. But, you know, this activity hasn't stopped, and it can't stop. We just have to figure out how to be creative in these very strange times.
Right. Well, Karen, I'm afraid we are going to have to leave it there. I would really like to do something more in-depth about Earth First itself and that whole history and legacy of organizing. I think there are a lot of lessons that could be gleaned from your experience for the younger activists today. So, Karen Pickett, thank you for your work, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me, Margaret.